So do please have your Bibles open to 1 Samuel chapter 28. We are reading from the King James Bible, and there are copies in the hymn racks in case you do not have one. Today we are reading and going to speak and think about prayer not answered. A sad and sobering lesson for all of us. And as we read, as you listen, please don't forget to pray. Praying in your heart, Lord, may thou help me to understand what I read. For when you pray, he answers, you know, in a marvelous way. So here we go. Chapter 28, verse 3. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits, wizards, out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together, and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. When Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. Neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself. He didn't want to be seen as the king, you know. And put on other raiment. And he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. Again, not to be seen. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest that Saul has done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, wizards, witches, out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life, to cause me to die? And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up to thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul, the king. And the king said to her, Be not afraid, for what did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said to her, What form is he? And she said, An old man cometh up. He is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul said, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me. How sad. And answereth me no more. Neither by prophets, nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyedst not the voice of the Lord, nor executed his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth, and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength left in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night. Amen. What an amazing account, isn't it? Here, if you like, is a first-class ghost story. You believe that? Do you really believe that Samuel came up because the witch called him? It is a very realistic account, isn't it? Dear friends, firstly, let me assure you out of God's word, the dead return not. The dead rise not from their grave. They will rise one day according to God's plan. Marvel not at this, that the day comes when all that are dead in the graves, wherever they be, shall hear the voice of the Son of Man, and they shall come forth. At that day they will come, no sooner, no later. God has a plan. God has the power. And all who are dead will sleep in the earth until the day. So this supposedly Samuel's ghost, who is he? Can you tell me? We have a very cunning, powerful, deceptive adversary, the devil. And he obliges. He works with wizards and witches. We still have them. In China, in Singapore, when I lived in a place called Kluang, we saw them regularly. They go into trance, and suddenly people are transformed, and they speak with a different voice. So here it is. Satan comes in disguise as Samuel and begins to predict in a very cunning and deceptive and almost realistic way. Now, that is not our topic. We should talk of ghost stories at night to be more effective. This is daytime. But our main topic today is unanswered prayer. Is that your problem? Dear friends, does God answer your prayers? How is your prayer life? I hope you don't mind my asking a personal question. How much time do you spend in prayer a day? And how do you pray? And whom do you pray to? Oh, my friends, this is the life breath of a Christian's life, is prayer. For there is the Father waiting the fellowship and communion of his children, for we are precious to him, and he is ever patiently waiting when do you have your quiet time? And besides the special designated quiet time, how many more times do you pray to Him every day? Do you? This story we have just heard is written before time for our learning, so that through the experience of Saul, by the way, we have come towards the end chapter of his life, a life that contains many sobering lessons for you and me. And at the end, when he faced the greatest crisis of his rule, the God who allowed him to be king was no longer pleased to hear from him, and there was no more communication, so that he was at a complete loss what to do. Now you ask me, why should it be? Is there anyone here who has gone through that experience? And you cry to God and say, where is he? Why is my God not answering me? And you almost despair. For Saul, the king, we can trace a gradual downtrend, a decline in his spiritual life that accounts and explains for this very sad encounter where he says, I pray to God and he won't listen to me, whether by dreams. By the way, do not trust in dreams. Usually due to indigestion or bad sleep, then you get dreams. Don't trust in dreams. And he says, neither dreams nor by Urim. Now, this is a mystery word in the Bible, which says, we really do not know what the meaning of Urim is, but we can only piece together from circumstantial evidence that it referred to those precious stones that were studded onto the ephod, or the garment worn by the high priest. And it is supposed that when he wears that thing and communes with God through that Urim, he will receive a supernatural indication, a message, what ought to be. So that's all we know about Urim, and by prophets. So Saul was at his wit's end. There were the enemy, the Philistines, massing together in great numbers. And here he was, the head of the Israel armies. Two groups of fighting people separated at that moment, for the battle had not begun. Imagine the thoughts that go through Saul's mind, or your mind, if you were the leader. And you ask the one who put you into that position as king, say, what must I do? Because this is a crisis. And there is no answer. So I say there is a reason and explanation written for our learning. Turn now backwards, that we may trace why it is that God did not answer Saul. Chapter 13, you go back 15 chapters. Chapter 13 of 1 Samuel, in verse 5, talks of the Philistines gathering in fantastic power. It's like verse 5 says, they gathered themselves to fight with Israel. They had 30,000 tanks, right? For tanks with chariots. That's what it means. Those were the old-time tanks, chariots. How many? 30,000 and 6,000 horsemen. People like the sand of the sea for multitude. And they were pitched ready to attack, what do you do, my friends? Of course, you turn to the Lord, and this is what Saul did. And he consulted with Samuel. Remember, Samuel had not died. And Samuel says, all right, I have important business. I will come to you in 7 days' time. You wait. We are going to offer unto the Lord the offering that is required. Then we will see the salvation of the Lord. However, Samuel did not come exactly within the 7 days. Day one, no Samuel. Day two, three, four, five, six. And remember, Saul was a very proud person, full of ideas of his own greatness. This is his basic problem, a very proud person. And he thought, I'm the king. You're only the prophet, Samuel. Why must I wait for you? But, please understand, God deals with Saul through Samuel. Samuel was the chosen prophet, the man of God, the servant of God, the ordained of God. And when he says you wait for 7 days, you wait for 7 days. What did Saul do? Impatience overcame him. On day seven, mind you, day is 24 hours. By the end of the day, before the day was over, he said, Samuel is not here. I might as well be the prophet. So he proceeded to take over the job of Samuel. Now let's see. Verse 8, he tarried 7 days, according to time Samuel appointed, but Samuel came not. Verse 9, and Saul said, bring hither the burnt offering to me, the peace offering. And he assumed the job and responsibility of Samuel. And he offered. Now this is a violation because that is not his job. The king is to rule. The king is to lead the people into battle and to administer the country. That is his job. But he usurped, you may say. He took over the responsibility of Samuel. That is a sin of rebellion. Disobedience, and God hates disobedience. So when Samuel came, here comes the confrontation with Samuel. Listen to verse 13. Now please see. Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. Yes, you did not wait. And you did not wait for me to come and do the offering. There is nowhere written or told to you that if you feel like doing it after 7 days, you can do it. No, you're just to wait for me to come. And I had not expired the 7 days. Now, that is disobedience, and the Lord is not pleased. And dear friends, let us bear in mind that all that we do, every day, morning to night, make sure that this is your first priority. My first priority is to do the will of God. To know His will and to submit to His will and to do it. And when I do it, He is pleased and I am blessed. Here is Saul's big mistake. I say it is a great sin from a little mistake. Verse 14. Now here comes the price you pay. For every sin there is a price. Verse 14, now please follow. Now thy kingdom shall not continue. You're finished, Saul. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, not to offer sacrifices. That is the prophet's job, the priest's job. Because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee, your kingdom shall not last as it should be. Now that is the first mistake. God gave Saul a second chance. Isn't that good? We all want a second chance, don't we? You made a mistake? Please, Lord, give me a second chance. And God gave him a second chance. Verse 15. And we are going to see, because basically Saul was unrepentant. His nature being so proud and his mindset being so fixed, he is going to do just what he feels he should do, regardless of what God thinks. Verse 1 of chapter 15, Samuel also said to Saul, "Now the Lord sent me to anoint you to be king over his people. Therefore, listen to the voice of the Lord." Verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek," who was Amalek? "The grandson of Esau, and who became an arch enemy of Israel. And he took it upon himself," you read on, "he laid wait for Israel in the way. When Israel came up out of Egypt on the way to the promised land, this man Amalek," of course not one man, but all his descendants, all the armies of the Amalekites, "came out to withstand and to oppose and to attack," who? "Their brethren out of Egypt, Israel. For that sin, God had pronounced the punishment." This is an order of execution that God gave to Saul. "Because the enemy, Amalek, has done this wicked deed, I am now going to punish them. And you, Saul, you are the executioner. Go and do what I need to be done to them." It's very clear. Read on. Verse 3. "Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not. Slay both man, woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, ass, everything." There is a total execution order upon the Amalekites. That order is very clear. Saul was intelligent. Did he not understand? Answer is obviously, absolutely. He knew what he had to do, but his nature had not changed. Deep inside him, he is still full of self. "I will do what I think best." And that's what he did. And he offended. And he lost his second chance. Let's read and see. Verse 9 is a sad record of Saul's disobedience. "And Saul and the people spared Agag, the king. For whatever reason, we do not know. But he said, never mind, I will spare him. And the best of the sheep, oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, all that he thought was good, and he would not utterly destroy them." So this was called selective obedience. Dearly beloved friends, when we learn obedience, it is what the Lord says, I will do. Whatever he says, I will do. If he does not say, I will not do. In this case, it is whatever I feel like doing, I will do. And whatever I feel I do not like to do, I will not do. So the second chance was given. The second chance was thrown away. And he did just what he felt like doing. Now, we had used this for memory verse a few weeks ago. Verse 22. Yes, verse 22. And Samuel said, "You say you want to keep all this for sacrifice, the animals, but this is not what the Lord wants." Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? What does the Lord require of you?" The first requirement that God wants from all of us is, what is it? Not the offering. These offerings we bring here are secondary. The first thing that God demands of all his people is, obey my word. For that word is for your blessing, for your safety, for your encouragement, and for the propagation and advancement of the work of God and the church here. We obey him, there is peace. And don't take it into your own head to say, "I think this is better, Lord. You don't know. I know better than you." So this is what Samuel told Saul now. What does God want? Is it these animals? No. God wants your obedience. Verse 23. This is what we recited a few weeks ago. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What is witchcraft? Witchcraft is communing with evil spirits. And that is directly contrary to the will of God. To the stated command and will of God is never, never you commune with evil spirits. Is there anyone here who is trying witchcraft of any kind? Ouija board, or consulting horoscopes, or going to the temple, or looking up mediums and asking them for fortune, to tell what's in the future, what's coming, what's going, and so on. And those things are abomination to the Lord. Verse 23. For Saul, your rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. You disobey God. You were plainly told what you ought to do, but you refuse to do, and that is witchcraft. Stubbornness as iniquity of an idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected you from being king. Of course, it's not instant, even as, remember when Adam and Eve sinned? And God says, the day you sin, you die. He did not literally, physically die on that day, but the sentence of sin will take some time to be effective. Same here. Same with Saul. He didn't immediately fall down and die. But the sentence was on. He was king for another short period, but his reign was cut off already. Now you run on to the next chapter, verse 14. 1 Samuel 16:14. And this is serious. This is very serious. Let it not happen to anyone here. And this verse, may it speak to you? For it describes what God did to Saul. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and that is the greatest disaster of the greatest magnitude. Dear friends, all of us who came to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and salvation came by the working and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit of God is given to you and me to live in you. How did you come to the belief on the Lord Jesus Christ? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of promise. When the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven, he said, "I will pray the Father to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he will dwell in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." So all of us, thank God, we have the Holy Spirit. And this is the greatest blessing, the greatest gift that God's Spirit lives in me and you, because you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in him, and the Holy Spirit lives in you now. As for Saul, how sad. It says, verse 14, look please, it is a very sobering and a very sad statement. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. So he has no more protection, no more blessing of the Holy Spirit. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Sad, but so is true. Now, I counsel you to read for yourself the next 10 or 12 chapters. For the next 10 or 12 chapters, Saul was engaged and preoccupied with one thing. Because David was so popular with the people. Because he saved the nation from Goliath. And the women began to sing his praises. Saul has killed his 1,000. But David has killed his 10,000. And when Saul heard it, he boiled inside. And he began to eye David. You! Everybody looks to you. I'm going to finish you. For the next 10 chapters, you read. What was Saul doing that occupied his first priority? Not the Philistines who were the enemy. His first priority was David. And with 3,000 men, he pursued David into the wilderness, into the caves. Everywhere he heard, David is there, I will go after him with 3,000 chosen men. How sad. Does it need 3,000 men to catch one man? But that was what he did. So God did not bless him. And when it came to the final, the Lord did not hear him. My friends, we end this morning's message with a word of hope and comfort. The prophet Jeremiah, the one who was a patriot, he loved his country, he loved his people, but he was a true prophet, and God revealed to him, these people are disobedient, and the price for disobedience is punishment. They're going to suffer because of the disobedience. And Jeremiah preached to the people, repent. They didn't like it, so they put him in prison. God came to him and God spoke to him. The most famous verse I want to give to you. You be a Jeremiah, obedient regardless. I repeat that in case you forget. Obedient to God regardless of consequences. Make this our first priority. And then the verse that comes to you, I want to give to you as a gift, is Jeremiah chapter 33. Please turn there, and that is our memory verse in closing. Our memory verse, the book of Jeremiah after Isaiah, is Jeremiah. Yes, chapter 33, verse 3. You be a Jeremiah. Be true to the Lord and obedient to the letter of the word. Obedient even regardless of consequences, and see if the Lord will not bless you with verse 3. We all read it together and commit it to memory. It's a very easy verse to learn. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. All right, together, everybody please say together. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33, 3. Once again, please. Jeremiah 33, 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. May these words comfort us, dear friends. Let none here ever suffer the fate of Saul, for the next battle that was shaping up, looming, when it took place, he and 3 sons were killed in battle. How sad an ending for one who started off quite well. To begin well is good, but let us all remember to end well is better. You may not have a good beginning, but let us all think of a good ending. God with us, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. He will answer you, but you be obedient. Be obedient regardless of consequences, and God will promise you, Jeremiah 33 verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. May this be the promise that God gives to you for this week, for every week. God bless. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, teach us the lesson of obedience, that we may know disobedience and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and the idolatry. O Lord, bless your people, that we hearing may take heed and receive the word of instruction into our heart and into our minds to safeguard us, to guide us as thy light along the road and the pathway of life. May thou bless every hearer, and may the Holy Spirit imprint these words in our hearts and minds. May the name of our Savior be greatly exalted. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.